So Sachane on SAFM.
It is a meeting point on SAFM. This evening, as we normally do on a Thursday, we meet incredible South Africans doing amazing work. And ordinarily, when we do have a musician or musicians, we start with a song that is not theirs, but rather what inspires us to, in reflection on who they are. But this evening we're doing it slightly different. Ladies and gentlemen, if you don't know, I'd like to introduce you to Jabulile Majola. This is Woza Mntana. The sounds of Jabulile Majola and Woza Mntana. This is how we introduce him, if you do not know him. Our guest this evening. And he's not alone in the studio. He also is here with his fellow collaborator and brother, Yoav, and we'll talk about the project that they're doing together. But I want to start with, man, Jabulile.
Hello, you're killing us, man. Thank you for
you
having me.
You are killing us.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for your music. Thank you very much for making time to be here.
No, I was very much looking forward to this. Thank you for inviting me.
I wouldn't imagine those who are hearing your music and yourself for the first time, but maybe briefly, who are you?
So, as you know, I am Jabulile Majola. I'm originally from KZN. I was born in Pietermaritzburg, and then I was adopted in Greytown. So I call myself Jabulile. It's actually my real mother's name. It's the one and only thing that I know of her. And the fact that I'm just not good at coming up with cool nicknames or stage names. But yeah, growing up in a Christian home, in a children's home setting, you know, and I developed a love for music at a very young age. And then it sort of changed as I grew up, because then hip hop came along and started doing that as well.
Go to hip hop album.
And Ladders.
Oh, wow.
Heads and Tails. I was a big Pro Kid fan. Okay. And then a little bit of Eminem. Everybody was listening to Eminem at the time. And then Mzola 7, Mdlembe. Mzola 7 was like changed the world through South Africa. Honestly, he did so amazing. And then Squatter Camp, you know, like all that typical stuff. Super, super, super amazing. I was very into rap music. I was rapping. And then later on in my youth, I started developing a love for poetry, and then I went back to singing, because I started with singing. Singing in church, singing in school assemblies, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's something that I really enjoyed doing, you know? I think when you're growing up as a young African child, singing is part of what you do.
Sure.
But then some of us enjoy it more, because it's really what we want to do, and we end up leading assembly. We end up doing all of those things. So when I went back into poetry, I started falling in love with storytelling, you know, and just writing in general. And then I went back to using the vocal and picked up the guitar, started learning how to play guitar. And now we're at this point.
Jabulile Majola is our guest, one of our guests, I should say. I want to just touch on what you said, because hip hop can be a lot of bravado.
Yeah.
Right? And you were immersed in that. I mean, Pro, Squatter,
definitely,
all of them, right?
Yeah.
But there's something about what you're doing now that has got a certain vulnerability to it.
Yes.
How and when did you tap into that and allow yourself to remain in that vulnerability?
Yeah. I think it was doing hip hop was very easy. Because I was growing up with a lot of siblings, you become competitive. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I was always super competitive, but I think it was easy to the point where being cool was not cutting it. You know what I'm saying? You get tired of it. I still do hip hop. I still love the art. You know what I'm saying? It's something that I really fell in love with, expression. You know what I'm saying? But now I got to a point where I also realized that there was something missing about actually being immersed in reality. I think we still have a very I don't want to say fake, but we have a very
pretentious.
Acted pretentious vulnerability as well as like, I want to be like this deep rapper and all of it. But it's very, you can see that it's more in the mind, not necessarily in the heart. I think in that, when I started understanding my story, because I think we all have a story. Some of us don't really think of where we come from and where we're going and why we are who we are. You know what I'm saying? We know we've gone through so many things in our lives, but we don't really do that kind of self-discovery. Mm. There's a point where you can actually realize who you are to the point where you don't have to hide anything. You know what I'm saying? And it's not, you're not trying to live to help the world or change the world in any of those things. You just know that, yo, this is who I am. This is what is going on. And there's no point in hiding that. Mm. And you hiding that, it always sort of empowers other people to do the same thing and just be themselves. So even in the rap scene later in my life, when I was in that space where I was like sort of going through that stuff. I mean, growing up as an orphan, not knowing who your real parents are is a whole thing. And, you know, I'm a Christian as well. And so I know a lot about healing, but I wasn't going through it myself. Mm. You know what I mean? When you have to heal, you actually have to expose the wound. You have to go through those things, you know? Mm. And so the more I realized the power that is actually in not hiding at all, more it wasn't this thing of like, I want to be a vulnerable guy so that people see that as a different thing. You just know that it's something you can't make fun of what I already know that is there. You know what I'm saying? I'm not acting like something is not there. You know, and so like, I've always wanted to give people the real deal as it is.
Yeah,
you know, and people can respond anyhow they want. I'm not here with like a puppet string to say, okay, this is how you must do your thing and whatnot. I don't tell people you must be vulnerable. No, it's like everybody will go to their point. You can tell someone something, you go and make them see it. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. People come to that point themselves. And so,
That is beautiful. Jabulile Majola is our guest. And as part of your journey, Jabulile, those of us who have immersed in your music have also seen you in staying with that vulnerability where it's just you with the guitar, right? But then also that is, you were doing more than that. And I want to bring in your brother here. You have also, welcome brother, really appreciate it. And we are in the next few minutes going to be sharing what is the result of the collaboration between Jabulile and Yoav. But maybe as a start, bro, in introducing yourself and how do you link with this year person?
So yeah, it's curious because we are in some ways very different, but in some ways there's some similarities as well. Some like the schooling and obviously the and musically we connect in a lot of ways, but I'm a singer-songwriter myself. From Cape Town. I was discovered not long after high school and moved to New York, and eventually was signed in the UK and put out records in Europe and America, of my own very kind of idiosyncratic kind of singer-songwriter thing. And in the last couple of years, I've moved more into actually wanting to have a bit more of a normal life. So during lockdown, I taught myself how to produce.
What does that mean, normal life? What is normal versus what you are living?
So, well, to live in like maybe two places instead of 10 places, you can have, because you get fragmented, like your luggage is fragmented, but you also get equally fragmented and scattered. At one point, I've collected a lot of my stuff, but at one point I had like a Berlin life and a Paris life and a London life and a New York stuff. It's still my book collection. So I like the idea of producing, and I'm technologically pretty bad. I've made a lot of records, but I sit behind a guy who's doing the thing and I'm okay. Like, can you make that like that? So that was an interesting journey, and I think a testament to how easy the software is now that I can do it. But didn't consider myself a producer. And then a mutual friend of ours that was working with Jabu was like, you know, you guys should get together and write, because it would be interesting, just get, you know, write a song. So we did, we got together in my little bedroom studio and we did a song called Stranger, with no preconception of what it's going to be. And I just laid down little drums and then Jabu took it to his label guys and they were like, that's really good, do another one. And then we did another one, and As we went along, I felt like our connection was improving. I know my production was improving, like as we went along. And interesting what you said about vulnerability and then the power of Jabu specifically coming from that raw sound. And I almost actually wish I'd come to that earlier in the beginning of the album, because I was producing more, and then as we went along, I was making it more sparse. And you'll hear that Nyoniami is like a very, I'm actually, I think, proudest of that, because I left it alone. But there's some, and then some of the songs were mine and some were Jabu's, and we both, and I had this wonderful song, Nevermore, and then Jabu made it 10 times more wonderful with this lyric he put in. And even the language is interesting, because the stuff that I'd heard Jabu was not in Zulu. It was sort of English, and I dug it. Reminded me a little bit of Bon Iver and Ryex and Pete Gabriel and all the stuff that we were talking about when we first met. But as we went along, I think it was like three, four songs in, and then a little bit of Zulu came in the one song, just one line. I think it was in Nomad, and then in Last Ted's there was the whole verse. And then as we went along, I was like, we need more of that. And so by the end of the album, we had like full songs in Zulu, and that was nice. But I think as a piece of work, as a journey, it was really interesting. And I mean, both of us were going through a lot of turbulence in our lives while the thing was happening. So kind of it was a little bit of a lifeline for me, actually, to make the music. All this turbulent stuff was happening. So yeah, that's kind of how we got here.
Yo, Ev in studio, Jabulile Majola in studio. I want to go to the song you mentioned, Yo, Ev. Maybe for you to introduce the song. What is the song?
So I will have less of a handle on the lyric than Jabu, but
I was deliberate in letting you do it.
Jabulile has told me it's a song about a little bird, which reminds me of a Paul Simon song about a sparrow. And it's a metaphor for, I guess, one's heart that's like kind of protected, and that it's, but being beaten around by, you know, storms of life,
the elements,
than exactly, the other. Basically. Yeah. So the little bird to me is a really beautiful metaphor for like the little heart that's like kind of protected, but it's not, it's, you know, at the mercy of all of this. And then the last line is like, I too know what, I know how it feels. I know how it feels.
Love it. Yo, Ev and Jabulile Majola in studio. This is the result of their collaboration, Nyoniami. It is a meeting point on SAFM. With Yo, Ev and Nyoniami. Jabulile.
Yebo.
The song, but also the journey that you have been and continue to walk with Yoav and what you are presenting to us, what does that mean for you?
Okay, so I think this is, for me, it's the beginning of everything, you know? I have been doing this music thing for a long time. As I explained, I did hip hop and I did all of these other things. But I had never launched music where I'm playing guitar and singing and doing this type of sound, folk music. And so for me, it really feels like a new thing, like a very much uncharted territory, something that I've never done before. I mean, when you look at someone like Yoav, who's been touring and doing his thing for a long time. So it both feels like a very new thing, but it's also a sense of launching myself, in a sense of like my self-discovery, never obviously coming into completion as to like who I am, but like it's a beginning of how I basically tell my story in terms of where I've been and how I've been. Yeah.
For those who, it's also very important that we remember the need to direct people, not only to the music, but also to the performances. When are we seeing, when next, Yoav, are we seeing your presentation of this union and brotherhood that you guys share?
Yeah, we're going to play some shows. I think we are doing Cafe Rue, April 20, and then we're going to do something at the, where Gallery, we did, what's it called again? 44. No, but where we played before.
At the Homecoming Center.
At the Homecoming Center, yeah, mm. yeah. We played a beautiful show there last year that was just wonderful. There were like two shows we did last year that really gave me a feeling for how I feel like people are going to respond to the music. We played at the Homecoming Center and just it was magical. And then we did a show in Copenhagen as well in a similar kind of venue. Yeah. It's a country and a town where I've had a following before. But I must say it's been a good many years and shows since I felt that energy that I felt with that. And that's people hearing totally new music.
Yeah.
So I think we're looking at maybe spending a little time in Europe and playing some shows there and playing here. We just want to play. And we've got this record, which has just grown. It was a 5-song EP, and there was a 7-song EP. And then when we delivered that a year ago, and the label from overseas were like, you know, it'd be really great if it was a full length. And then I was like, all right, let's back in the trenches. And now we've finished, and we've got at least there's like one, two more really good songs that I'd love to get down as well.
But yeah. So the actual album has not been launched.
No,
as yet. You're concluding.
Yes. We are in the final stages, just like putting everything together.
It's all done. Me. It's just the cover now. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's a very extensive album. I think, you know, when you look at us and you see how how we've done the little that is already out, I think when you get the album, then you actually see how two people actually come together and make this thing. Because as we said, like, it started out as like a normal English thing and whatnot. I'm well versed in English because I grew up in a Christian home, adopted by English speaking people, and so like I was writing a lot of those kind of songs and whatnot. But then at some point I was like, okay, let me change the gears and go back into like the folk tales, because I used to listen to folk tales. Our house mothers were Zulu speaking, and they used to speak that archaic, the old language. You know, the type of language that you are. It's not like, oh, I know how to speak it because I can remember the words, but it's like it's just inside of you. You know what I'm saying? Because you eat it, sleep it, you dream it, you think it as well. And so, like, that's the one reason I actually went into writing in Zulu again. I wasn't trying to think of, okay, let me say this word and put it together, and it's going to sound so amazing. Let me just say it as I feel it. Another thing, if we have time, I want
to
speak
about...
We're
about to conclude,
I got to meet Ubaba Madala Gunene, Dr. Madala Gunene last year at his house. I will never forget that moment. And that's the very thing, because he was like, I don't necessarily always feel the need to translate my music, you know what I'm saying? And he's like, even on BBC I'll speak Zulu, whatever. It was so funny. But even he was saying, Uti, like, I don't have to write music. It's like, the reason why I like writing in my language is it's because it feels like something that is already there. I'm not trying to conjure it and make it come out, you know what I'm saying? And so what you will find is that, like, we, as much as English is my thing, I know how to do it. We did all of that, and then we really got to know each other, and we're like, okay, we trust this process and whatnot and all of those things. And then there were times, it's funny, the first lyric that came about, I never wrote most of the Zulu lyrics in the album. It was that point, it's like, okay, we've kind of established a common ground here. We know what we're doing. We are aiming for this. And then the Zulu started coming. You know what I'm saying? Love and that's it. What it's about, you know?
Love it. So, love it.
Yeah. It's interesting because it was like, and I'm reading translations, and with the Zulu especially, and like Jabu said, really, really leaning into the mythic folktale feeling of it. And you get to express things lyrically that I think if you did in English, it wouldn't.
No.
It wouldn't work.
It wouldn't. It wouldn't.
Exactly.
Gents, we're out of time. Thank you. I look forward to the album. Your socials, Yoav?
Yoav Music Official or something.
Or you just Yoav Music _ I
think. You don't know?
No, not better than me. He is not
good at social media. He doesn't do
one of the joys of this project. Slightly less.
So I'm Jabulile Majola _. I'm also on TikTok as well. That's where a lot of people know my stuff from there, because I also do covers, all sorts of things. And then on Instagram, I'm Jabulile Majola.
Nice.
And we have two songs out on all platforms. The one is Stranger, Yoav and Jabulile, and then the next one is Nyoniam, Jabulile and Yoav. People will find everything.
Jabulile Majola and Yoav, thank you very much, gents. I really appreciate it. I love how it's only now that you are exposed for having your phone on. Whoever sent you a message, you must call them to order. Guys, thank you very much. Really, really appreciate you. We had a side discussion. There's a lot that's going to happen, hopefully, at some point. But I really appreciate you both. And I look forward to your music and also just watching you live as well. Thank you very much. It is a meeting point on SAFM, 21 minutes to 10.